Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Celebrating 8 years is radio's small business superhero. He's a syndicated radio host, syndicated columnist, author of two books, and all-around nice guy.
The most fantastic crime fighter the world has ever known.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
We're back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. If you've been listening already, thank you especially for that. And as you know, we consider you to be a highly intelligent individual. If you continue to listen after a while, we like that very much. Philip McRae is with us, ladies and gentlemen. Philip is president of Moody National Companies, and he tells me it's a portfolio of companies. And we're going to get him to tell us what that means in just a minute. Philip, welcome to the show.
Thank you, sir. It's a pleasure to be here.
It's good to have you here. And by the way, folks, I think I may have mentioned it earlier in the show. Or I don't know for sure. I know I did yesterday. I've been broadcasting yesterday and today from Houston, Texas. And out here working with Administaff, one of my sponsors, and today, a little bit later on in the day, I'm going to be talking to some of their customers, of which Philip is one, if I'm not mistaken. And so I'm looking forward to that, to visiting with a lot of small business owners later in the day. But that's where I am. I'm broadcasting on the road in Houston, Texas. And Philip, your company is based in Houston, isn't it?
We are. We started in 1996 as Moody National Mortgage Corporation, and over the years we've just expanded into a full-service real estate firm with a mortgage management, realty, and development division, and now have almost 100 employees.
And how much, what size is your company?
We have almost $1 billion in real estate assets through the country, primarily apartments, office buildings, and limited service, select service hotels.
I see. And those are in what locations?
Florida, Georgia, Tennessee, Pennsylvania, and Texas, mm-hmm. and soon to be California.
All right. So that sounds good. You know, that's an interesting, but this is direct ownership, or do you bring in investors into those properties? Or
we raise money, yes, sir, through a network of broker-dealers through the country.
Right, right. So this is not unlike the kind of syndication that was being done back in the 70s and 80s, but with only now with a profit motive rather than a tax motive.
Yes, sir. We do, though. We are a 1031 exchange TIC sponsor, where we raise money through from 1031 exchange investors through a Reg D offering.
Right. Reg D, unlisted security. Tell us what you mean by 1031.
1031 is the tax code that enables people to exchange into a like kind of investment, real estate for real estate. And one of the advantages is deferring taxes. And they can sell real estate and transfer and roll those proceeds into another investment without paying taxes.
Really, so if they sell a piece of real estate and make a profit, unrelated to you, disconnected from you, they can roll those profits into your investment without paying a tax in a way that's similar to selling a house and buying a house within 24 months and not paying taxes on that profit.
Very similar, yes, sir. But for commercial real estate, and you go into a structure called a tenant in common, and mm-hmm. that's just a joint ownership. It's a real advantage of people who are maybe have already owned and managed real estate, and maybe they had a small apartment complex, and they can take those proceeds, roll them into a tenant in common structure, and receive a fixed rate return and own an institutional class asset. Mm-hmm. And they might own 1/35th of a office building in Houston, Texas, rather than a fourplex in San Diego, California.
Right.
And don't have all the headaches of management.
Mm-hmm. And is that considered a limited partnership? What's the legal structure?
It is a tenant in common structure inside of an LLC. So.
Okay, an LLC, which didn't exist back in the LLC didn't exist back in the 80s and 70s. They were typically the limited partnership structure was typically used back in those days, wasn't it?
Right, right.
Yeah. So you got now you've got a mortgage company, you got a real estate company, you got the investment company, and what's it like managing that many spinning that many plates out there, Philip?
It can't happen without great people. And as we've grown, we've had explosive growth over the years. Is part of our challenge is hiring great people, and great people pay for themselves several times over.
Right.
And having key people in key positions is absolutely central for us.
Hold on to that thought, Philip. We're going to take a quick break, folks. When we come back, I'm going to ask Philip about managing those people. What kind of challenges, what kind of opportunities he's found in managing really good people, which apparently he has. And we'll be right back after these messages. I'm Jim Blasingame. It's 20 till. Stay with us.
We used to be so happy.
It's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance neath the cover of October skies.
We're back at 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and that's Van Morrison. Great song, Moon Dance. We're visiting with our new friend, Philip McRae, and Philip is president of Moody National Companies, which is a portfolio of companies primarily focused on real estate and all the issues around that, mortgages. Now, did you mention that you have a real estate company in terms of...
We have a realty company, and a mortgage management and development.
So how many... You have agents working in the realty company? Is that just like a regular a residential realty type company?
Actually, it is the company that our tenant in common sponsor functions in, and to primarily do our own on-book transactions.
I got you. Mostly your own stuff, and then, of course, you got a management company to manage all these properties.
Yes, sir. We manage office buildings and apartments, and we asset manage hotels.
You got a website?
I do, moodynational.com, and it is in the process of being revised. And
so if you want to see the website of a company, folks, that's a portfolio of companies, and some of you listening may have that or you may aspire to doing that. Philip, if for those of our audience who would like to think that maybe they've got a couple of things going on, they'd like to operate their business more like the way you are, more of a portfolio of companies, have multiple organizations that work basically, toward the same goal, but they have different activities. What advice would you give them? You already told us to make sure you got good people. What other things can you tell us?
Hire great people and work very hard, and then don't do so without understanding up front of the potential sacrifices and hard work it's going to take. There's no free lunches, and it has been a very difficult and challenging but very rewarding time since I've been at Moody National Companies, but it has not been easy. And I don't think anybody listening to the show who does have their own business or aspires to thinks it is easy, but it's a very challenging and taxing. And as a father of a six-month-old daughter, there's always trying to balance family and work. And that is a big struggle, internal struggle.
Well, Philip, the work part and the balancing part, my audience knows all about that. And we also know that if it was easy, monkeys would be doing it. So that you're preaching to the choir a little bit on that, but and we can believe it. But what about the integration of the different groups? Have you got a different head for each one of those divisions that you have, a different person in charge of that who then reports to you?
We do. And really, it's nothing fancy, but it's basically just this constant communication, scheduled meetings that keep everyone abreast, and that's a real challenge in a rapidly growing company like we've had over the last several years, of going from 7 to 100 employees in a matter of 3 years.
Wow!
Constantly communicating to each other.
In 3 years, you've gone from 7 employees to 100 in 3 years?
Yes, sir. And that's a large portion of that is inside of the management company, on-site employees.
What were the growing pains? What were some examples of some growing pains that you had?
I tell you, part of the value of the relationship, the admin-staff relationship brings to us is that I'm in the real estate business. I'm not in the human resources business. And that has allowed me to just outsource, with admin-staff being our PEO, just to outsource it, to let them manage that aspect of my business so I can focus on the real estate and the growth.
The payroll, the compliance, the employee compliance, and
training, payroll, and admin-staff just handles that entire piece so we can focus on what we do, our core competencies of acquiring and managing real estate, commercial.
One of the things that I say all the time on my show and in my speeches, Philip, is that outsourcing and that the whole landscape of outsourcing that has emerged over the last few years is the best thing that ever happened to small business. What do you think?
It's been wonderful for us, and there have been many people who have tried to step into the admin-staff slot within our company, but they have yet to be able to meet the quality and service level that admin-staff provides.
One of the things that I say to my audience and that I've written about, and I'm going to say in my speech later today, is this a little question that I encourage small business owners to ask themselves when they're contemplating whether they should be outsourcing any particular task or not, whether it be payroll or, you know, human resources or purchasing or whatever it might be. It doesn't matter what task in the company. But if you ask yourself this question and really challenge the answer, and here's the question: must this task be done in-house? What do you think?
It's a great question, and I tell you, the criteria that I use to evaluate my PEO provider, which is admin-staff, is how often do I have to think about those issues? And the answer is very little, which is a good thing. Not the strategic. I certainly lead the strategic charge as it comes to personnel, but the administrative portion of managing that aspect of my business has just completely been wiped off the slate. And
do you outsource other things? Do you outsource management of any of your properties?
We have property management companies that manage our hotels.
Right.
Because we don't have the core competency to do so yet.
So you outsource other things. This is a way of life for you, not just in one area. When we come back, folks, Philip has background as a venture capitalist. I want to pick his brain a little bit about what he thinks you and I should be thinking about with regard to venture capitalists these days. Tintel, stay with us. We'll be right back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, a small business advocate, and we're having a great visit with our new friend Philip McRae. And Philip is president of Moody National Companies. Is that moodynational.com?
Yes, sir.
It's the website. All right, Philip, take a moment and talk to us about venture capitalists. You used to be one, and what do you think? What do you know about the venture capital landscape right now? What would be your advice to a small business owner who wanted to fund the growth of their business through a venture capitalist?
I've been away from it for several years, but my experience is many people think it's the easy path to growth, but it comes with a lot of strings, and money comes with control, and, as anyone considering taking outside money from investors will generally, especially institutional investors and more specifically venture capital, will mean they will insert an awful lot of control into the business, and oftentimes you can lose control of that which you started.
If somebody were thinking about starting a business getting something going. And they were already, you know, they were already had visions of a significant organization. In other words, they weren't thinking about starting a small business and growing it into something big over the next 10 or 20 years. They wanted to really ramp up and you know, really have a significant presence in the marketplace in, say, 3 to 5 years. They just about got there. They're going to have funding from somewhere. You can't grow that like that with just profits. You've got to have some outside funding, don't you?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And generally it is through some outside source, through a benefactor, a high net worth individual who takes an interest in what you're doing. But the venture capital industry is now rebounding, and there is greater interest. But before you enter that, you have to understand the objectives that they are. It's internal rate of return driven money. They want to get their money in to make as much as they can and get out as fast as they can.
Internal rate of return, return on investment, and exit strategy. Those are the two big things, aren't they?
Absolutely. And I that's what I used to do all day is I'd meet with people with business plans, and just certain opportunities are not venture capital oriented. They're not fast enough growth. Making 12% a year is not the kind of return venture capitalists look to make.
Wow. And they're also not looking for $500,000 deals. They're looking for multi-million dollar deals, aren't they?
Larger funds are needing to move big money. And so we always viewed it like a pedestal. We always looked at the people, the plan, and the capital. And any one of those three stools were missing. If they didn't, the management team, if they weren't adequately funded or could be adequately funded and didn't have a sound business plan with barriers to entry that would keep you from just getting wiped out the moment you put your money in.
What did you want the business plan to look like? What kind of a form? What did it typically look like, the successful ones?
It's very similar to what we're doing now at Moody National Companies. We have a very strict investment philosophy, and that's kind of like our strike zone. And different funds have different parameters. And we were a life science information technology fund, and so we had a pretty small strike zone. And so part of venture capital is finding the fund that has what you're doing in their investment parameters.
In other words, all venture capital funds are going to be interested in your industry.
If you've got a restaurant, an information technology fund will not be interested in investing in a mm-hmm. restaurant.
Mm-hmm. And if you have a restaurant, you better be talking about franchising that restaurant if you want to get a venture capital interested. Just having a restaurant is not going to make them interested, is it?
No, sir. No, sir. It's rapid growth again. And the key is you never go into an investment unless you know how you're going to get out of it, and that's the exit strategy. That was the first, almost the first thing I looked at is what is the exit strategy.
And most small business owners,
how are you going to keep from getting trapped in this investment?
Right. Most small business owners love their business, and the idea of getting out is not something they go into it thinking about. But that's exactly what venture capitalists think about, and that's one of the ways that I think one of the reasons why venture capitalists are typically not what most small business owners are looking for. Philip, thank you for being here today. Good job today. Will you come back another day?
I would love to.
We enjoyed having you today.
Philip
McRae, ladies and gentlemen, president of Moody National Companies. That's moodynational.com. Check it out and when you get a chance. I got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I'll see you tomorrow in my regular environs.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.